Thank you, Your Honor. May I proceed? Your Honor, before the court today is a case involving Mr. Kermit Omar Rogers, wherein on June 17, 2009, in Lee County, Mississippi, a search warrant was executed which particularly described a residence known as 320 County Road 401. Allegedly within the context of an investigation of Mr. Rogers and that residence, agents had surveilled and/or recorded narcotics transactions taking place within the confines of that property. A search warrant was applied for and granted, specifically describing County Road 320, County Road 401.
What is the issue in this case?
I'm sorry, Your Honor?
What is the issue in this case as you proceeded?
Your Honor, in this case, my issue is, number one, we were not given a hearing to allow us to elaborate and to develop the factual issues, which specifically are this. The majority.
Did you say anything about that in your brief?
Yes, sir, Your Honor.
You did?
Yes, sir, Your Honor.
Well, the motion before the district judge was, as I recall, your motion to suppress included a request for a hearing.
It did.
It included both motion for request, motion for a hearing and that the evidence be suppressed.
It did, and if it pleases the court, Your Honor, in our motion to this court at the end, we requested, we made specific mention to be given the opportunity for a factual hearing before the trial court to develop that issue. But more to the point, Your Honors, the majority of the cocaine that was found in the execution of this warrant, our contention is and would be, was not found at 320 County Road 401. But rather was found.
And in your statement of the issues, you said, only did the warrant particularly describe the place to be searched?
That's correct, Your Honor. The location.
The only issue you raised in your brief.
And, Your Honor, if it pleased the court, in the argument of the brief, we specifically describe the place to be searched as 320 County Road 401 in the warrant. However, a different property was searched where the majority of the drugs were found in this case, that being 320A County Road 401.
I mean, the record is very incomplete about where that was, though.
Hence the request for a factual hearing, Your Honor. I agree with the court. It is a situation where we are hamstrung and we are, frankly, unable to elaborate further to the court about the location of this. I'm sorry, Your Honor.
What, no, I'm just saying, what did the, upon what basis did the district court make its decision if it didn't have a hearing? Were you out given an opportunity to file affidavits? So what happened?
Your Honor, to be frank with the court, I was involved in the case. I did not draft or supply the initial motion to suppress, which addressed this issue. Another attorney did. I was then hired. The district court, to my understanding, basically ruled that it was not a separate piece of property, that the vehicle, and in fact, was more or less located within the confines of 320.
How did he know that?
Hence our motion, Your Honor.
That's your question. You don't have a hearing, and that was contested, and he just said that.
Your
I
Honor,
guess what you all do, make a, practically, you all make just kind of an oral presentation of what the facts were? Is that what happened?
Your Honor, this was a motion to suppress that was submitted on the brief. Hmm. There was no oral argument. To my knowledge, I certainly didn't participate in any.
Okay, and so he just decided it.
That's correct, Your Honor. In any event, Your Honors, it's our contention, again, that whilst there was, to be frank with the court, there was some amount of cocaine found within 320 County Road 401. Don't dispute that fact at all. The majority of the drugs were found in a different
okay.
piece of
now, your brief, does it say that this vehicle was not located at this property?
Your Honor, our contention is, and certainly I think it's within the brief, or at least the spirit.
You're talking about the stuff that was found in the motor vehicle, right?
We do not contend, nor do we seek to suppress the amount of drug found at 320 County Road.
My question was, you're complaining about what was found in the motor vehicle.
Yes, sir, Your Honor.
And your brief, whether you put it in your issue, but in your argument, do you or do you not make the contention that the car, the stuff that you want suppressed was found in a car and that car wasn't on the described premises?
That's correct, Your Honor. That's exactly
And did your motion to suppress and for hearing before the district judge make that claim?
Yes, sir, Your Honor. It did. Your Honor, in this case, we attached some of the affidavits or connections to this case as best as possible. And even within the description before the court, the statement of my client, Mr. Rogers, he describes the vehicle as being parked at 320A County Road 401. This is a statement that was supplied to the police during their investigation. So our contention simply is that this was a vehicle found somewhere on a different parcel of property for which there was no warrant to search, that the police, upon entering the property known as 320A County Road 401, in fact, were beyond the scope of the warrant that they had.
Now, the language in the warrant, did it say on the premises or on vehicles adjacent to?
Vehicles and approaches on 320 County Road 401.
Okay. It said all vehicles on the property.
Correct. And our contention is this vehicle was not on the property. If it pleases the court, I understand my argument is very brief on this issue, but as the court might understand, it's a simple issue and a one for which I don't have the factual resources to tell the court this is what has been heard before the court or any transcript to develop. That is our issue. Simply put, that vehicle was on a different piece of property. There was no warrant for that property. It's our contention also, simply put, that although these properties are obviously close together, they are separate. And for Fourth Amendment purposes, we would argue that that is a separate piece of property for which additional warrant or authorization would be needed by an officer. Number two, there would be no exigency in this case which would allow for any type of warrantless search, being the fact, number one, that the vehicle was on a separate piece of property, and number two, that the vehicle was under the control and dominion of the police.
Well, we don't have any record.
No, okay. We do not, Your Honor. But for our purposes today, that is my argument, and I would submit the rest of my time to the appellee.
Okay, thank you very much. We will hear from Mr. Doliak.
Thank you, Your Honors. My name is Chad Doliak. I'm an assistant United States attorney from the Northern District of Mississippi here on behalf of the government this morning. Your Honor, I'd like to address a few of the assertions and arguments made by appellant and respectfully correct him on a few issues. It is the contention of the government that if the court looks at the first motion to suppress that was filed not by Mr. Lair, but by Mr. William Stennett and Ms. Lori Bale Nasham, who were the two previous attorneys that represented defendant. It is our contention, Your Honor, and Judge Benavides, if you refer to the motion they filed, they did not request a hearing. There was no hearing requested on the motion to suppress. The first motion that was filed was a pleading that basically asserted that the vehicle that was searched was on a different piece of property, that being 320A County Road 401, and that was the basis of the motion to suppress. There was no request for an evidentiary hearing.
Well, how about the second motion?
The second motion, Your Honor, is the government's position that they did request an evidentiary hearing on the suppression of Mr. Rogers' statement. However, Judge Mills at the district court level found that there was no accompanying information, there was no affidavit submitted, there was no material factual issue to be decided there. What we had on that second issue, which it's the government's contention, that has been abandoned because
Let's take the first motion.
Yes, sir.
Was there ever a hearing on the first motion when they made the contention that it wasn't found on the property where the warrant, that the warrant described? Which is a particular issue that he's saying is before us. Was there a hearing on that?
No, sir, there was not. That issue was decided by Judge Mills strictly on the pleadings that were filed with the court. The motion that was filed by appellant.
The pleadings that were before the court say it wasn't found at that property. Now, how did he come to a conclusion that it was found on that property or that there was good faith without having any evidence?
Your Honor, Judge Mills' thought process, I think, is included in his order, and it's the government's position that he based his order on the pleadings that were submitted by appellant, which included photographs of the property. It included the search warrant and underlying facts and circumstances that were attached. The government also attached a copy of the search warrant. The government's contention was that the vehicle was parked in the back of the property, that being 320A. And Judge Mills, in his decision, basically found that to the extent that the facts in this case are disputed, the dispute turns largely upon the rather nebulous issue of whether a vehicle parked outside of two buildings located in close proximity to each other is, quote, outside of, end quote, one building or another. Judge Mills found that this issue might be, regardless of how this issue is resolved in this case, the court says
but it didn't have anything to do with the building. It had to do, wasn't there a specific portion in the warrant that had to do with vehicles on the property? And this was found in a vehicle.
Yes, sir, Your Honor, and that's the government's argument. This vehicle is
so
red.
The building, the question of the building is not, what's the relevance of the building to the specifics of the warrant, which was vehicles on the property? How did he get from vehicles to buildings?
Because that was a different address, had a different address.
That's the appellant's contention, Your Honor. The government's contention is we have a warrant for 320 County Road 401 based upon three previous purchases of crack cocaine from that residence within a 72-hour period prior to the issuance
That's
of the
right.
search warrant.
You didn't have one for 320A.
Didn't have one for 320A, Your Honor. But we did have a search warrant for 320, all vehicles, outbuildings, and appurtenances attached thereto, in addition to persons found to be on the premises. Mr. Rogers was found to be on the premises.
Okay, we're not talking about Rogers' statement. We're not talking about what was found in the building. We're talking about what was found in the vehicle, right?
Yes, sir, Your Honor. And our argument is that once they found cocaine in the the premises, the 320, we've already got a search warrant.
In the record?
Sir?
I didn't find anything in the record that indicated that there was any contraband found at in his residence first before they searched the truck.
Your Honor, the government's pleadings are our response to the first motion to suppress asserted that crack cocaine was found in a recliner in the east bedroom of 320.
I understand.
First. And then the search of the vehicle occurred after that fact.
In other words, this was not an affidavit. This was a motion that you filed.
That's correct, Your Honor.
It said that, and the motion did say specifically that it was found before the search of the truck.
Yes, sir, Your Honor. As well as the keys to the vehicle were found in the pocket of Mr. Rogers, indicating possession.
And did it say that the vehicle was on the property at 320? Or did it say, did it join the issue of whether it was at 320A or 320?
Your Honor, my best recollection of the government's motion is that it stated the vehicle was found in back of the building, 320A.
Well, did it say it was found on the property? I mean, it was for vehicles on the property.
That's correct, Your Honor.
Did it say that it was found on the property at 320? Or did it just, it was in the back of the building?
Your Honor, we didn't make the assertion on the property. We said in back of the building in close proximity thereto.
Okay,
but
so
he said that it was found on the other property.
Yes, sir, Your Honor. That's his assertion.
And that it was not included in the search warrant. Because this was a vehicle found on property that was not included in the search warrant.
Yes, sir, Your Honor. That's the appellate's contention.
And what did you? And you said that you didn't contest that.
Your Honor, our assertion was it was found on the property, that it was close enough to.
No. You just said it was found behind the building.
You didn't say it was found.
I mean, there's lots of things behind my house. They're not on my property.
Your Honor, our position was that it was found in close enough proximity to 320 CR 401 that it was included in the warrant. In absence of that, the court found there was probable cause.
Where was it found? How far from the house was it found? How far from 320 was it, 13320 or whatever it was it found?
Your Honor, I can only base that on the photographs which were submitted to the court.
Well, how can you do that? Did they have the house here and the 1320A or whatever it was. It was 328, I guess. 320A, did it show the distance between them? Any of the photographs show the distance?
Your Honor, I don't recall. Your Honor, it's the government's position that Judge Mills found that whether or not this vehicle was parked on 320A, closer to 320A, or closer to 320, is of no consequence. In addition to there being a warrant, there was then developed probable cause to get into the vehicle because there was first cocaine found in 320.
Okay, now where did you get that information that you put in your motion?
That was based upon reports submitted by law enforcement officers.
On what?
Based upon reports submitted by the investigating
agents. Usually when
agents.
You have a vehicle search, it's on a highway. And because the vehicle can be moved and whatever, it's a, you, but here, is it, was it on a highway or was it on a piece of proper piece of dirt that's not the right of way?
Your Honor, it was
behind the house.
It was out behind the house. It was not on a highway, not on any type of road. It was
so you're not at that point. You're not relying on the warrant, right?
Your Honor, at that point they were relying on the warrant because it included vehicles. And then in a
vehicles on the property.
Yes, sir. In the event that the court were to find that the vehicle was not on the property, which the court said it's of no consequence, we then have probable cause to get into the vehicle based upon the seizure of crack cocaine in the residence.
How do you do that? If you find, are you saying that if you find drugs on me, you can go over to my house and look in my car because now the vehicle exception is involved? What if it's not on the highway? What if it's in my garage? You can just go into my garage and look at my car?
Your Honor, Mr. Rogers was found on the premises.
Don't know that.
Well, Your Honor, that's what the court found. That was what Judge...
On what basis?
Your Honor, again, the court ruled based on the filings and pleadings of appellant and the pleadings of...
And where the filings and pleadings does it say that?
Well, that's what the government alleged in its response, Your Honor, that Mr. Rogers...
The government alleged, but where are the facts?
Well, Your Honor, the court made factual findings based upon the pleadings.
Wait a minute. How did it make factual findings based upon the arguments of the parties? How do you do that?
Your Honor, the government's position is that Judge Mills did not find any material issues of fact.
Well, I'll tell you what one material issue of fact is. He says it wasn't on the property. Let's say we're going to consider the allegations. He says it wasn't at this address. And you say, you don't deny that. You just say it was behind the building.
Yes, sir.
How does that dispute that he said it wasn't that address? Why is there not a fact issue? Why is your statement and acceptance of that necessarily a refutation of his point that it was on another piece of property not described?
Your Honor, the government's position, and it's based on Judge Mills' order, is that appellant did not, he didn't build enough facts, didn't put enough of an issue before the court, develop anything in his motion to rise to the level of the necessity of a hearing.
So you're saying, I mean, I guess you're very inarticulately saying that he had the burden and he didn't carry the burden.
That's correct, Your Honor. We don't believe that appellant... His burden was carried to rise to the level of requiring.
You didn't say that in your brief. You didn't make that argument in your brief.
Your Honor, I did not, and I would cite to this court's ruling in United States v. Harrelson at 705 F. 2nd, 733, where this court has previously found that, and I'm going under Rule 41E, that was not alleged in any of appellant's motions, but that an evidentiary hearing is required on a motion to suppress only when necessary to receive evidence on an issue of fact, and that factual allegations set forth in the defendant's motion, including any accompanying affidavits, which there were none, must be sufficiently definite, specific, detailed, and non-conjectural to enable the court to conclude that a substantial claim is presented, and that general
you
or...
You didn't make that argument to the district court either.
I did not, Your Honor. The district court ruled that of its own volition.
Well, why is it not... Substantial. Why is that claim not before the judge if he says the warrant didn't describe the property? It was my car wasn't on that property that described in the warrant and doesn't come within it. Why is that not particular enough to put the judge on notice that my claim is this was outside the warrant.
And again, Your Honor, it's our belief that based upon the order issued by Judge Mills is that he found that there was not a significant factual issue.
Well, what if we say there was? I mean, what difference does it make that Judge Mills didn't think there was?
Well, Your Honor, certainly if this court does, then I'll be back in front of Judge Mills having a hearing.
And then you're getting the good faith and all that.
Yes, sir, Your Honor. As a secondary argument that the government made, and Judge Mills followed that line of reasoning, was that even if he found that there was a factual issue here, that it was a nebulous one, and that in the alternative there was probable cause based upon that previous seizure of crack cocaine in the moments immediately before to allow them to get into a vehicle parked on the property that did in fact.
On the property.
What if it wasn't parked on the property? His whole contention, it wasn't on that property.
Your Honor, in that case, Mr. Rogers had the keys to the vehicle on his person. Of course, then we deal
that
with.
That doesn't give him the right to search it, though, does it?
Well, Your Honor,
because
if we get.
Gave him the key to it.
In the absence of consent, Your Honor, that would be correct. Of course.
And there's no record of consent, is there?
No, sir. The only record of consent,
this
obviously.
Case was very poorly handled on the part of everybody, it seems to me.
Your Honor, there was no evidentiary hearing held, and obviously we were.
Well, you could have filed affidavits, and the other party could have filed affidavits as well, I mean, to clarify what they were talking about.
In respect.
To make arguments. I mean, you're an assistant United States attorney, you know that arguments are not facts.
Respectfully, Your Honor, it was the government's position that the burden to go forward with the motion was on appellant and his attorneys.
You didn't tell the district court that. You alleged facts and said based upon police reports.
Your Honor, the facts.
Did you include the police report in your motion?
I'm sorry, Your Honor.
Did you include the police report in your motion where you were alleging facts?
We included the underlying facts and circumstances with the affidavit that was signed by the judge in Lee County along with our pleadings, Your Honor, so that those were before the court.
But not the police report?
Not any police report, Your Honor, no, sir.
Okay. You just had the warrant.
Yes, sir, the warrant, along with the underlying facts and circumstances, which were very, very similar to the report that was created afterwards. The report only contained what was seized, Your Honor. It was not specific as to where the vehicle was found. The report said out back of 320A. Your Honor, it's... again, in absence of an evidentiary hearing, it is the government's position that Judge Mills decided, which, Your Honor, is within his discretion, according to this court, again, in the Harrelson case, that inherent in these flexible guidelines is a judicial recognition that, quote, the determination of whether a hearing is required on a motion to suppress is necessarily dependent upon the particular facts which attend a particular request. And the district court is properly left with a certain amount of discretion in this regard. And it's the position of the government that Judge Mills, in reading the first motion to suppress.
I mean, all of these issues are flying around, and your summary of the argument in your brief says nothing about any of this. While conducting the search of the residence, you say your summary of the argument is that they had a valid warrant at 320 CR, not 328. While conducting the search of the residence and the appellant's vehicle parked outside, not acknowledging at all that the issue is where it was parked, agents found approximately 190 grams of cocaine. Agents properly Mirandized Rogers, which is not an issue in the case because it's a search warrant case, who freely and voluntarily admitted the drugs were his. And that doesn't address the issues that are presented in this case at all.
Well, Your Honor, respectfully, appellant's brief was very minimal, and
well, so was yours.
Yes, sir, Your Honor, it was in response to appellant's brief.
No, it wasn't very much in response to the appellant's.
Your Honor, I apologize for that. It was the government's position that he had reserved or preserved both issues, although only one issue was addressed in his brief, which is why there was a minimal response by the government to the.
It's not just a minimal response, it's an unresponsive response.
But. Your Honor, in any event, it is the position of the government that Judge Mills, as the district court judge in this case used his discretion, that there was no clear error in his findings, that he based his ruling based upon the motions that were filed by both parties, and that his factual findings were based upon the facts as he found them to be included in the underlying facts and circumstances of the search warrant, and that the appellant did not meet his burden to cause the court to go forward with an evidentiary hearing.
No, thank you.
Thank you, Your Honors.
Okay, Mr. Lair, you got anything to say?
Your Honor, briefly, without belaboring the point, obviously the disadvantage of not having an evidentiary hearing on this case prevents me from addressing many of the arguments and positions made by the government, just as they limited me from making my own positions. Simply put, Your Honor, and this
is your fault too.
It is, Your Honor. I agree.
I mean, no affidavits were filed, no nothing.
That's correct. Your Honor, in this case, in order to preserve Mr. Rogers' rights, it is our request, and the conclusion of our statement, our argument is that we do request some sort of an evidentiary hearing if the court would allow it to be returned back to the district court to allow for that purpose to develop some of these issues. I think they are significant issues. They are factual issues. I think they want an evidentiary hearing, and for those reasons, we would ask the court to remand the case to the district court for further proceedings, and I'll submit the rest of my time.
I'm going to say something. Thank you very much. But I'm going to say something here about the quality of the briefs in this case and the quality of the conduct of the attorneys below. And I'm speaking for myself here as someone who is a Mississippian and used to be in that office of the Northern District of Mississippi. The government's brief is woefully inadequate. And it's embarrassing to me that the U.S. Attorney's Office in Oxford, Mississippi would file such an inadequate brief, and that this case was handled in the way that it was handled. It's an embarrassment from both sides. I mean, the briefs of the appellant and the brief of the government was embarrassing to me. Okay, that's our next case.